This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome into the All Things Bama Podcast. I am your host, Mason Woods. I am joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither, as always. We got a very busy show today. We're going to bounce around a lot. I've got a bunch of things that I want to get into. Bunch of things I want to mention. We will be recapping the week for Alabama baseball and softball. We're going to take a look at the Crimson Tide's unfortunate back-to-back losses on the basketball court as well. And I do want to mention that spring football did kick off. Not sure how much time we're going to spend there, because if you have listened to the Joe Gaither show recently, which you should go subscribe to it, we don't care a whole lot about spring football because not really much happens there. But we also do want to talk. We are going to talk a little women's basketball as well. They took an unfortunate loss in the SEC tournament yesterday. We will get into that just briefly. And finally, at the end, I have a few little just kind of quick hitter rapid things I want to throw at you, Joe, and see your opinion that I saw this morning, one of which I think you may be able to go for a few minutes on. So we will see. Before we do that, though, Joe, how are we doing today? We doing all right?
Oh, having a great day. Loving it. It's Friday. Looking forward to the weekend.
Hoo-wee. All things considered, it was a pretty busy week for Alabama this week. A lot of things happened. We got to talk a lot of things on your show. One thing we did not really get into a whole lot, though, is Alabama baseball and softball. And that's where we'll start today. I do want to kind of recap the week for both of those teams. Alabama baseball last weekend sweeps North Dakota State. And then on Tuesday of this week goes out and dominates Jacksonville State. I think the final score is 11-1. And then you took on 19th-ranked Troy at home on, I want to say it was Thursday? And you picked, or no, it was on Wednesday, and you picked up another ranked win, the second-ranked win of the year. Now you're 14-0 on the season. Like I said, two top 25 wins, one over North Carolina State, one over now Troy. I mean, the story of the entire team, though, is Justin LeBron. You know, reading Will Miller's stories throughout the weekend, because as I just got done talking about, I don't really watch a ton of baseball myself. But reading up on it, our friend Will Miller has been hot on the trail for baseball. He's been covering everything. So go read it on Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. But he gave us the update with Justin LeBron. 9 homers on the year. Again, only 14 games played. Tied with Eastern Tennessee State's Grant Gallagher for first in the country. So, you know, we're coming for you, Grant. But this was really, really impressive to me. 6 RBIs in the last 2 games. 34 on the season. More than any other player in the country through 14 games. 34 RBIs. There's not a lot of things that will get me to watch baseball, but you know, Justin LeBron, you might just do it.
Is he the best player in college baseball? Is he certainly has started off that way. And you look at where this Alabama baseball team has been the last handful of years, to think that you probably have a top 10 Major League Baseball draft pick on the roster and potentially the best player in the sport in Tuscaloosa. I mean, well done. He's a sophomore, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun. They're 14-0. Haven't beaten a ton of, you know, you talked about the Jacksonville Classic, so yeah. they got some wins right there. You have a 3-game set with Presbyterian. Really, what will it? You're teasing. You're teasing mm-hmm. about your Justin LeBron getting you to the ballpark. What will he have to do? You get another 4 home runs this weekend.
I think honestly, realistically, it's probably going to take them getting to conference play.
Okay, that's fine. Hey,
you know,
elite competition. You want to see him play?
That's what I'm looking for. I want to see how they stack up.
Weather's warmer too.
That too. Yeah, the weather's been a little crappy. We started to get a little warmer this week, but like you know, it's not been exactly baseball weather yet. But I think the biggest thing for me is just like I cannot iterate enough. Like, I don't watch college baseball. I don't know what's going on with college baseball for the most part. I have a very, you know, very basic understanding, probably a little more so than like the average non-baseball fan, just because I am forced to keep up with it a little. But I really, like, I'm not watching these games in and out. I'm not talking to these players like people are, you know, anything like that. So I don't really know a whole lot. But I do know that the SEC is the best conference in the country in baseball. And I know that when Alabama gets to the SEC, they will be playing the best competition that any team is playing in the country. And that will be my litmus test for whether or not this team is actually going to grab my attention and whether or not they're going to make a run. And I know that, you know, you're going to call me a bandwagon. That's fine. I will be a bandwagon for this baseball team.
For a sport that you're not real into, that's kind of the way it goes.
That's kind of my opinion, you know, kind of where I'm at. Once they, you know, the March 14th, so next Friday they start conference play, taking on Texas A&M, going out to College Station for a 3-game series. I don't know much about Texas A&M. They're not ranked, so I don't, you know, I don't know how good the Aggies are. But again, like I said, the SEC as a whole is just incredibly good. So this will probably be some of the toughest competition you face through up to this point in the year. You have do have the two ranked wins, so those are good. But you know, Troy and NC State, we don't know exactly. I don't, especially Troy, I don't really know exactly what they're doing down there in the Sun Belt.
Troy was ranked this past week, wasn't they?
Yeah, they're 19th.
Yeah, no, that's a yeah, a really big win for them, because small school baseball, it's a whole lot easier for the smaller schools to compete in the baseball.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, kicking off conference play next week, that'll probably be...
Next week already?
Yeah, March 14th.
Wow, the clock is just flying by.
I mean, we're 14 games into the season already. It feels like it was just... I feel like opening day was... it was less than a month ago, but it just feels like it was yesterday. Like, baseball...
Valentine's Day, right? Opening day?
Yeah, they move so quickly through these... And, you know, I understand it's a lot of games, and that is why, you know, a lot, they're playing 2, 3, 4 games a week sometimes. But, man, it's tough to keep up with. That's another thing that keeps me out from following baseball. Too many damn games.
I mean, you think about it on a major league level, 162, right?
You couldn't pay me to watch all those games.
Let me tell you, this small detour, I have a couple of different years, different times, thought, I'm going to watch baseball this year. I'm going to watch the Yankees. I'm going to watch the Cubs. Different times have been different teams. But no, you cannot keep up with it. I like watch 4 Yankees games in a week. One time I was like, all right, I'm stuffed. I'm full.
Yeah. It's insanity.
Like with the NFL, we're only checking in once a week.
It's perfect. The NBA is the same way. Too many games. I'll watch. If I'm a fan of a team, I might watch 15 of your regular season games, maybe 20.
The NFL
do it right, you know. Give us that one day a week, maybe, you know, I guess you get Thursday and Monday as well, but really it's one day a week and you just got to lock in for that day and you get to watch your team. Yeah, that keeps me out of baseball, but let's move on to softball because I do want to talk about them as well. They have been on a ridiculous tear over the last 2 weeks. Since February 21st, they have run ruled teams 7 times, including a streak of 6 games in a row that was good enough for a program record. That, thanks to our friend Katie Windham here at Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, go read about it. After a tough stretch to open the year, it looks like they've really kind of bounced back here in the last 2 weeks or so. Now I know they haven't taken on the same level of competition that they opened the season with, but still, to have this kind of offensive output is very, very impressive for anyone.
Well, considering the issues with the team the last 3 years, is 3 fair or is 4 fair? At least 2 are fair. The last 2 years, the offense has not been good. And you've been really, really, really reliant on Montana Fowl, Caleb Beaver, elite pitching. You know, okay, if you're going to be above average, if you're going to be a good but maybe not great team, I think this team is a good team. I think this team could be great. But at least from a fan aesthetic standpoint, wouldn't you rather score a bunch of runs and just play 12-4, 12-8, 12-9, you know, 10-7? Like, give the fans something to cheer for. We cannot have the hooey that you've had the last 2 years where it's Alabama lost 1-0. Alabama lost 2-1. Alabama lost 3-2. And, like, there hasn't, I'm exaggerating, there hasn't been that much losing. You made the College World Series last year, but it's just been certain games. I'd rather play this way. I'd rather just hit the dang ball and, like, of course, the pitching this year is a little bit of a question mark still. Brisky, right? Jocelyn Brisky, trying to see if she's going to become an ace or not. And you've got like 4 or 5 different arms that have all made some appearances. And the last time I talked to Coach Murphy, he was on. He was kind of talking about still. This was before the Easton Bama bash, so at least 5 games ago. But I think more than that. I think 2 weeks ago is when I talked to him. He said we're still working on pitching roles. Who's starting, who's in the bullpen, who's when you're starting, how long does that mean you're going? Does that mean you go all 7 innings? Does that mean you go 3 innings and get relief? What does it mean? So I'm comfortable experimenting with the pitching, but you got to have some dang offense. The last couple of years, You haven't needed to experiment with the pitching because you've had amazing arms, but you haven't been able to do anything really significant offensively, especially if from an experiment. Hey, we can try this, we can try that. Like the pitching side, you can try some things.
Yeah, you got options.
We can take some risks. You got options, as you said, but you got to have some offense. And so I'm encouraged for this year. I'm encouraged for what we've seen so far.
Yeah, Alabama takes down UAB and Furman by a combined score this past week of 27-3.
Boom!
Demolished. Took down SIUE the next day, 7-4. That one was a little more hairy, but still, you move on the next game, play Furman again, 8-0, and then you took on UAB and Samford on Tuesday, beat them as well. I understand, like I said, the competition has not maybe been up to the same caliber that you opened the season with the first 2 weeks of the year. You know, you played a lot of top 25 teams there. But I still think this stretch is probably a major confidence booster for this team because they did get off to such a tough stretch and maybe got down on themselves a little bit. It's nice here to kind of have a, you know, I don't want to say easy go at it, but you get to play some lower level teams and maybe beat up on them a little bit and get your confidence back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have this weekend where you got Iowa and Louisiana. Iowa and Louisiana.
Yeah, got Louisiana today at 4 p.m. and then Iowa tomorrow at Iowa today at 6 and then tomorrow again at 1.
Yeah, so you're playing both of them doubleheader Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, play 1 and 3 tomorrow.
And then the girls, I guess, are getting a little spring break. Probably not. No spring break for this football team.
No, it doesn't look like it.
No
spring
break.
Play again March 11th.
That's all right. No break for y'all. No beach for y'all. And that's probably the way it should be. I think the softball team's in a decent spot. I mean, especially when you think about everything you lost over the last year and how challenging the SEC is. I mean, you look at Texas and Oklahoma are two of the top five teams in the country. And bringing them in, infusing them into your league. I'm just not one to overreact because where we are, we haven't even got to conference play yet. And what we have seen from this softball program for the last 4 years, at least the last two, for sure, but probably a little longer, is you can falter a little bit in the regular season and kind of
be okay.
And kind of put it together. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, in your four major polls, this team is still number 22 in the NFCA poll, number 21 in the USA Softball poll, 21 in the D1 Softball poll, and 19 in the Softball America poll. So they're still viewed as a good team, still a top 25 team, still one of the best teams in the country. They, you know, like I said, just got off to a little bit of a rocky start, but I think they have, they're figuring out what their strengths are through this stretch. And I think that will, translate well once they get into really the nitty gritty of their schedule, especially once they get into conference play. When, you know, if you have an identity before you get into that, I think you're in a good spot. I want to move on to Bama hoops. And I don't want to spend a super long time here.
Go for it.
It makes me so angry. I hate them. Like, I hate them. They make me so mad. But I still believe in them. it's crazy. Like I know in my heart they can still win a title. I know, a much not much worse, but a worse team last year went on a deep tournament run and had it, was right there at the finish with the opportunity to get there. So it's still all right there in front of Alabama. But man, it certainly feels like a little bit of trouble in paradise right now. I don't think it's fully, hey, we're smashing the panic button, but like it's sitting there on Nate Oates' desk and it's got a big red light and he's looking at it and it's blinking in his eyes and it's maybe beeping at him a little bit and he's got the lights off in his office. That's all he can see. And he's just hovering over it, waiting to hit it.
I just think you've had bad circumstances. Like you set yourself up for a great season. And the circumstances of, the rest of the SEC is historically good. You lost probably one of your best you lost two of your best shooters. I mean, Millett never played. Millett was degenerative knees right off the bat. And you've got Latrell Achilles. So two of your best shooters gone right off the bat. And right now you're dealing with Darian Reed, hamstring, in probably your best two-way defender, probably your best two-way player on the team is on the shelf. And
this is true. You're bringing me back to earth a bit.
You got Grant, who is dealing with ankle, knee, shoulder, whatever he's dealing with. That he's not 100%. I just think that I hate to say it this way, but you just got a lot of bad luck. And it's like, dang, what are you? How can you overcome? Like, it's hard to be mad.
That's the perfect. That is a. That's a perfect summation of like where it feels right now as an Alabama basketball fan.
It's just mother.
Like, dang, man. What, it can't catch a break.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no.
And it seemed like every ball bounced Florida's way the other night. Like, did. As far as 50-50, you can talk about hustle and, okay, I go there. But, like, the ball actually bounced Florida's way also.
Literally. Yeah, I mean, you are correct. That is the what's the word I'm looking for? That's the more nuanced response that is not reactionary like I am, kind of. That I think you are correct. It has been a... just a endless barrage of negative things for this Alabama team that since the start of the season, with the injury bug, with things, you know, just not happening the way they need it to, la da da, whatever you what have it. But man, so you're back to back losses, Tennessee and Florida. Obviously, you go into Tennessee losing heartbreaking fashion. Jemai Mashak hits the buzzer beater 3 to win. Vols go on a 7-0 run in the last 30 seconds to. Literally just snatch a victory right out of your hands, like taking candy from a baby. But I mentioned this on your show. That game was a little strange, you know, because like I just said, you had it in your hands. You had the victory. 30 seconds left. You were up. You have this win. And then you just completely and utterly collapse. A few consecutive strange coaching decisions, maybe from Nate Oates. And he goes into a press conference and takes accountability, whatever. That game, you can almost live with a weird kind of fluky loss, a buzzer beater especially. You can almost live with it. It's like, dang, they got us. But hey, you play that last possession 10 times out of 10. He probably only makes that shot a couple times, maybe twice. Like this is not a guy that was hitting that shot a lot. So you can almost live with it. I don't think, I don't think Nate Oates is necessarily going to make a habit of making the same mistakes in the final 30 seconds like he did in that game. I don't think he is. Shown us that as a coach. I think he is, through his time here, shown us he will address problems and he will fix them. But Florida, it was like, it just kind of seemed like Florida wanted it more at times. I think a little bit, easy lane to the basket. They basically did anything they wanted on offense. Low effort inside for Alabama. They didn't get after the rebounding as much as they needed to. You mentioned this yesterday to me. Is it just the team being tired? Is that part of it? I don't know. I don't know really where you turn at this point in the year. Do you just, without actually doing it, do you just kind of tell everybody, hey, we're going to shut it down for the next week or so, get ready for the tournament?
Well, I wonder if you do the Wim Sanderson. Do you remember what Wimp used to say when we worked at Tide? He would tell the story all the time.
Maybe. It might come to me once you start telling it.
He would say, now, in his old Wimp way. I used to do it a little different. I don't want to take my team up to the SEC tournament. See, at those days, they went to Lexington. They went to Atlanta. They went to all over the place through the SEC tournament. But he said, I don't want to do my Wimp impression because it's terrible, but essentially he said that he would wait. He would not practice the fellas that hard that week. He would kind of give them, but he also wouldn't travel to the tournament location early. He said, I don't want to go to the location, sitting 5 days in a hotel. Like, Bama's first game is not until Friday. Coach?
You get there on Thursday.
No, Friday morning. Just, we're waking.
Waking up, it's time to go. It's time for a business trip, boys.
Exactly. Yeah. And you slept in your own bed Thursday night. Sleep, and Coach would say, I would wait to the last second and take them. And he'd say, I would practice them so light the week before. And he'd say, everybody else was mashing their players at the end of the season. That was just mashing them. And I didn't want it to be that way. And so then he won 5 tournament titles.
Excellent strategy, I think, because just the kind of notion of like, hey, just take it easy. Take a deep breath for a second. You're good. Like, I know that was a tough regular season. We just got through it. That was real hard. But, hey, it's behind you now. I think there's a lot to be said for that from like allowing the players to kind of recenter themselves.
Yes. So you go last minute. I mean, you're playing Friday night in Nashville, in Bridgestone. I'm pretty sure is the window. You're playing that 6 or the 8. So I'm dead serious. You wake up Friday morning and bus is leaving at 8 a.m., boys. Or shoot, we're flying, right? We're probably flying.
Yeah, probably.
So you're probably taking the airplane out of the West Alabama airport up to Nashville. Boom, we're there at 11 a.m., and here we go. That's what I would do.
I like that. I think that's a good plan. I would like to see them do that.
Well,
because I think that's maybe where this team is at, where it's.
There's a great coach who whatever you want to say about Coach Henderson, there's a great coach that used that strategy, and so it's on the it's in the annals, it's in the archives in the over there somewhere.
And I think Nate Oates is a man that respects the past of Alabama basketball a lot.
Yeah,
you know, certainly Whip Sanderson's era here, and you know, maybe we'll take maybe he's made a call, but maybe they've been in touch. Who knows?
I'm gonna text Wimp after this just to say, will you give him the old playbook, please?
I think that helps a lot. I think this team, kind of where they're at, they are in a bit of a weird spot after the back-to-back losses where, you know, deep down they know they have beaten some of the best teams in the country. They have gone toe-to-toe with some of the best teams and been there right with them. And these two losses are not, you know, the two losses do not define this team. The other 28 games of, you know, however many games it is, body of work defines this team. They have been one of the best teams in college basketball this year. So I think just take a step back a little bit. And, you know, like we just said, kind of, you know, be able to reflect on the very hard regular season you just had and then be able to recenter and say, all right, that's done. We don't have to think about it anymore. Look at what is right here in front of us. Everything we could possibly want is right there. We just have to go grab it. So, yeah, do that, Nate Oates. I know you listen. Please, you know, have them there Friday morning. Get them there nice and easy. Don't run anybody. Don't make anybody do anything too much this week. Grant Nelson wants to get up some shots. Just let him do his thing on his own. Don't bother him. You know, let him get his confidence back.
Shoot, he needs it. Get Grant all week long on the Noah on the arc machine, on the shooting machine.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Mm-mm. So yeah, that's probably where you turn as a team, I guess. That's probably your best plan of attack here. But you do still have one more game between, you know, now and then. You got to play Auburn on Saturday. Auburn coming off a really tough loss. I didn't watch this game, but I went back and, you know, looked at the stats and everything. Texas A&M, I mean, dominated Auburn on the glass. 41-25 rebounds.
That's insane. That's surprising.
Insane. 24 offensive rebounds to Auburn's 9.
Did Janai just not play?
He played. He played 30 minutes. Had like 8 points.
What about Chaney? You got the box score right there.
Pull it up right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at Chaney Johnson and I'm looking at Dylan Cardwell. Did they just take the day off on the glass? Because those are some big old mama jammas. I know Texas A&M has Anderson Garcia, big old rebounder as well. He's a stud rebounder for sure. But
let's see. I'm pulling up box score now.
I'll try to filibuster for you.
Yeah, so we got Janai Broome, 32 minutes, 4-for-9 from the field, 7 rebounds.
Okay, fine-ish.
Fine. He was the leading rebounder. Next closest guy.
Give me Chaney Johnson.
Johnson, 0-1 rebound in the game. Pathetic. 24 minutes,
give
4
me
points.
Give me Dylan Cardwell. Pathetic.
Cardwell, 3 boards.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it just got dominated. Again, like I said, I didn't watch the game, so I didn't get to see what happened live. But I went through, and I'm going through, looking at the two rosters. Like, Texas A&M is not insanely big. They don't have a bunch of guys that are way bigger than anyone Auburn has. Like, they just physically dominated this Auburn basketball team in that game. So, I don't know really what that means for this weekend. I don't know if we're going to get just the most pissed off version of Auburn you've ever seen, or if it's going to be, man, we just laid an egg. And, like, we're feeling really down. I don't know. I think it could really go both ways.
I think you're going to get a really fired up Auburn.
Probably.
I think Bruce Pearl is going to press all the buttons, and Neville Arena is going to be on tilt. And
probably.
How does Alabama respond in an invite? Like, the
8.5-point underdog, Alabama.
The last time they were in a real nasty environment, do you put Thompson Bowling Arena in that category? I don't. I think it's a big – I mean, it's a big crowd.
Sure.
Same with Big Blue Nation, Kentucky, a couple of weeks ago. My brain goes back to Purdue this year, where Purdue really affected your. I think I mean, that was 10 years ago at this point from my perception, but I'm pretty sure that Alabama shot really poorly in that game. Hold on. We'll find this out. We don't need to be guessing here. Alabama-Purdue, we can find this out. Alabama-Purdue basketball 2024. Here we go. 87-78, November 15th, up there in Indiana. Alabama shot 44% from the field. Yeah. 31% from the three-point line. 9 of 29, which is meh. Comparatively speaking, Purdue shot 49% from the field, 5 ticks better, and 56% from the three-point line. Oof. Alabama did do well at the free throw line, 86%, 13 of 15. One of their better games, but to me that's the most difficult road environment Alabama's gone into this year. Well, North Carolina too. You won at
that was before North Carolina was what they are right now, and yeah. You know, everybody still thought they were really good, so people were still pretty hyped. That was a pretty intense environment.
So road games at Purdue, at Carolina. I don't care about North Dakota. I don't care about at South Carolina. At A&M, that's a good one. At Kentucky is a big one. I don't really care about at Mississippi State. At Arkansas, I mean,
that place rocks.
Yeah, that place gets up and going. At Texas, not really a big deal to me. Massively got spanked at Missouri. And then
it was not a really raucous environment from what I recall. I mean, it was, you know, loud, but it was not like, oh, the crowd's affecting this. This will be the hardest. This will be the hardest environment you've played in all year, I think, easily. I think the Auburn fan base is much more rabid, I believe, than just about any of these other tough places that you've played. You know, we talked about Kentucky. I mean, half the crowd in Kentucky is white-haired old people sitting on their hands for the whole game, not yelling until the very end. So I think you miss a little bit of it there. Purdue, yeah, sure, but they don't get as crazy in Purdue as they do down here. I think this is going to be, without a doubt, the hardest place Alabama has played this year. And it's going to be... it's not like it really matters for the rest of the season because you're not going to be playing in like tough road environments in the tournament or anything, but it's just another, I don't know, like feather in the cap of, okay, this team has the resiliency to overcome these sorts of outside factors. That would impress me if you can, you know, limit the effect that the arena has on you, limit the effect that the crowd has on you, and just play your game. You should be able to go toe-to-toe with them. I think they cover that 8.5 points. I don't think they win the game. I think you're probably within 5, probably looking at like a 85-82.
Yeah, I'm going to take Alabama to lose by... I'll take Auburn with the points. I'll take Alabama to lose by 12.
It's going to be a tough one. But hey, it doesn't matter.
75-87.
You're still one of the, you know, top 3 seed in the tournament, maybe a 4 seed in the tournament, probably a 2. You're going to be okay. This game does not matter a whole lot grand scheme of things. I understand it sucks to lose to Auburn, lose to your rival, but it's okay. It's all right. I didn't talk about this in the Florida game, but I did want to mention it.
Yeah, go for it.
What did you think about doing the senior night after the game? That was really weird to me. I did not like that at all. I think these players deserve a lot better than that.
Well, we've done it after for at least 2 seasons, but maybe 3.
Okay.
At least 2, because we did it after last year.
Okay.
But I
can't remember how they had done it last year. Or not,
I also don't love it.
It's just...
Because the fans are in their fields.
Yes.
If you won the game, we're all staying, and we're all, rah, rah, rah!
Awesome.
If you lose the game, you get what happened on Wednesday night, where everybody's headed to the exits in the last 30 seconds, and it's... Well, remember, we're doing senior night ceremony after the game. Please stay and honor the seniors.
Yeah, just very weird. I didn't like that. I just felt like, and I don't think Nate Oates did that maliciously or anything like that. But it was just strange.
I don't know what the purpose is. I don't know if the purpose is he thinks senior day distractions is going to be distractions.
Who cares? Like
Nick Saban did it before the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I don't. It's just. It's 5 minutes of Mark Sears, yeah, you know, Chris Youngblood, yeah. It's nothing. It's not like they're getting up there and having to write a speech that they're going to perform in front of everyone and they're distracted. They introduce them anyway every game.
My only other guess is if Nate thinks the timing is jacks up the pregame warm-up.
Maybe.
I have no idea. I have no idea. No. Just a guess.
But yeah, just I had to get that out. I did not like that. The reasoning he gave of like, I didn't want any distractions from senior night, like that was lame. That was a lame reason. That's not a real reason.
Martin didn't get the cheer that you deserve. No, I mean, beforehand, the place went ape. The place went crazy for Mark Sears and starting lineup from Muscle Shoals, Alabama, senior Mark Sears, and the place did go crazy then, but it's like.
Mark Sears especially, he deserves better. Mark Sears deserved better than what he got for his senior night to have to, you know, lose, obviously.
30-point effort. He left it all out there.
Yes, losing in a 30-point effort and then getting introduced to a crowd of fans who is fighting over each other to get out to their cars. That was disappointing. That's really all I have on the men's hoops, though. It's still all right in front of you. I am not out on this team yet. I am down on them a bit at the moment, but I am not out on them. But women's hoops, you lose in the opening round of the SEC tournament. A bit of a shock to 11th seed Florida, who wouldn't you know. Selection Sunday is next Sunday, March 16th. Sarah Ashley Barker had 24 points in the game, but it was not enough. Florida's Liv McGill went for a career high of 29. This was just a really bad game for Alabama from everything I saw. I mean, you shot 34% from the field, 28% from three, had 19 turnovers. It feels like this is the same conversation that we've had about some of these ugly losses for the men's team, and it's just, you can't turn the ball over. That's plain and simple. It begins and ends with that. You lost the game by 2 points. You turn the ball over 19 times. You limit that by three, you win this game.
So infuriating, so frustrating. Yeah. And I know that Christy Curry's probably really upset at that, especially after what they have built this year and done this year. I'm sure that she's really upset with that performance over there in Greenville, South Carolina, Greensboro.
I think you kind of hinted at this a little bit, like this Alabama team's not going to win a national championship, probably. They're probably not going to win a national title in basketball. I think we can all say that objectively. It just kind of is what it is.
Where do they max out, though? Max out
at... You could have maxed out at an SEC championship, maybe, I think.
I think you can max out at an Elite Eight.
Sure. But you could have had this title. And, you know, it's disappointing to see you get bounced out in the first round as a team that played so well throughout the regular season.
Yes.
It's just tough. It is tough. But, again...
It's technically not the first round because they got byes, but it's their first game. It's their first game. It's our first round.
So it's just disappointing. Obviously, you know, a similar, same situation with the men. Everything is still right in front of them. They will be I think they're projected as a 4 seed in the tournament right now. So you'll be right there in the tournament, hopefully potentially even hosting a game. We will see. Miscellaneous stories I got to get into, though. These are some fun things. First, J.D. Davison named G League Player of the Month. I knew he was playing like really well. Did not realize he was playing this well, averaging 28.7 points, 7 rebounds, 7.8 assists, and 2 steals a game. The guy is like tearing it up. I feel so bad. He's doing that on 53.3% shooting. This was not the J.D. Davison that was at Alabama. He has genuinely like evolved so much as a player. I was watching some of his highlights. You know, I don't watch the main Celtics in the G League frequently, but I saw some of his highlights and it is night and day from his days at Alabama. He still has that same athletic burst and the pop and the jump, obviously, but he is so much more well-rounded as a player. It's very, very impressive to see. It sucks for him that he's on the Celtics.
I was just going to go there because I'm looking that up. Keep going.
It sucks for him that he's on the Celtics. He would be getting a pretty decent amount of minutes on almost any other team in the league.
Yeah, he's sitting there behind. Let's look at these other guys. Peyton Pritchard, who didn't he have 40-something points
the
other night?
Him and Derek White both dropped 40 the other night.
Right. Peyton, the point guard, is okay. Their official Boston Celtics roster lists him as a shooting guard, J.D. Davison.
He is handling the ball a lot.
The other shooting guards on the Boston Celtics roster, Jaylen Brown, who two-way player, best player in the top 5 player in the league.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. What others? SG.
The Anomaly. Have you seen the NBA nickname discourse recently?
No.
Oh, my God, it's so good. So, just really quick tangent. Someone sent out a tweet. I think we should start calling Jason Tatum the Anomaly. Because of the way he plays and how it's whatever. It goes viral, people making fun of him because Jason Tatum is not the anomaly. He's the lamest dude in the NBA. Sure, he's good, but he is sliced bread as a human. It was, you know, it has gone crazy. And now, like, if people are coming up with the most ludicrous nicknames you've ever heard. You know, I can't even think of any off the top of my head right now because I wish I hadn't even brought it up because I can't think of some of the best ones. But if you want to have a good time, just go through your Twitter timeline looking up some NBA nicknames. You will see some really, really hilarious ones now that people are coming up with. And it's all started from this. Let's just start calling Jason Tatum the anomaly. But again,
JD,
sucks.
Tough.
Sucks that you're on the Celtics. I really hate that for you. Because you would be on you'd be getting 10 to 15 minutes a game probably, if not more.
Yeah, I mean, if he were in the Colin Sexton Utah Jazz role, he'd be out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough for him. Another one, Raekwon Davis released by the Colts. This is sad for him. I'll never forget. I mean, it's one of the toughest men to ever wear crimson. Man was shot in the leg and got a sack that week. Opening game of the year. Yeah. It was awesome. One of the toughest dudes to ever suit up in the crimson and white. Spent 4 seasons in Miami, 129 tackles, 2.5 sacks. Signed with Indy as a free agent last year. Didn't really do much. I think he had like 12 tackles this year. So, unfortunately, gets released.
Go catch another check, baby.
Yeah, go sign somewhere. Somebody will want your services. I'm sure you're a 5-year NFL vet at this point. You have a little bit of production behind you. You can go be a backup somewhere and make you a little bit more money. Auburn football. This is the most funny thing to Auburn. Have you seen this?
No. Go.
Auburn and Baylor are set to play.
Oh yes.
In the first game of the year next year, and both of them have taken it upon themselves to agree to move the game back a day to Friday in order because they both like the amount of exposure they'll get from it. Are we in the freaking Sun Belt? What is this? These are two.
I didn't see that reason.
Yes. Both ADs liked the amount of exposure it will give their programs.
This is opening weekend?
You were the SEC.
This is opening weekend?
Yes.
Hold on. Okay. Who is playing week 0? This is week 1 in college football.
Yeah, this will be week 1. Okay, here we go. This is on 3. So they will move the 2025 season opener to Friday, August 29th. The two sides have been in talks for, quote, a while. The second choice was going to be Thursday. All parties involved like the exposure the additional day before the next week.
All right, so they're trying to avoid Alabama, Florida State. Mm-hmm. They're trying to avoid what other sticks out to me? LSU, Clemson. Ooh. They're trying to avoid what else sticks out to me? I don't care about Tennessee, Syracuse, but hell, hey, you're trying to avoid Texas, Ohio State. All right, Auburn, I'm starting to see where you're coming from here.
I still think this is so.
Here we go.
Lame.
You're trying to avoid Utah, UCLA. Sad. You're trying to avoid what other big games are on this opening weekend? Georgia Tech, Colorado, I guess. Keep on going. All the way down here. Everybody and their mother is playing week number 1. All right, and so your Friday games, like, you're easily the most marquee game. You are supplanting who? You're supplanting
Kansas and Wagner.
Yeah, right. Tarleton State at Army, App State in Charlotte, and Kennesaw State at Wake Forest. You're supplanting those games as the best game on Friday night. You said Thursday was the other option.
Yep.
What did they run from? They ran away from Thursday as a whole because these games stink. They ran away from Buffalo, Minnesota. Oh, these games are awful. Nebraska, Cincinnati, Jacksonville State, UCF. So, yeah, I guess.
This is stupid. This is dumb. Just say,
but they're playing at Baylor.
How many more people are going to watch this game because it's on a Friday? I don't think that many.
Well, shoot. You know what I'm going to be doing? It's Friday, not August 29th.
SmackDown.
No, I'm going to be, yes, but I'll be at a high school football game.
Yeah. It's like.
I will be doing at Hillcrest or County High or Northside or Northridge, somewhere, watching local high school football, watching amateurs. And I'll love that. I'm not saying in a complaining way, but like, that's what Friday is for.
Watch the Auburn Tigers.
Right. Friday is for watching the children.
This is crazy. This is so bad. Like, little brother attitude activity. Oh, we can't compete on. Nobody's going to watch our game on Saturday, so we're going to take our ball and go home and play on Friday. What are we doing, man? This is just ridiculous. I had to make fun of Auburn for that a little bit. Baylor, you also are getting made fun of for this. Same thing. Just play on Saturday. College football is played on Saturdays. If you're in a power conference, if you're in the Sun Belt, if you're in the MAC, if you're in whatever, you get those Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday games, whatever. College football is played on Saturdays in the big with the big boys in the Power Four here. This is just, oh man, that made me laugh pretty hard. That's really all I have for today, though. Had a nice tight show. Joe, anything else you got?
Oh, no, man. I'm excited for the weekend, seeing how these diamond sports. Can we go 7-0
Yeah. Yeah, we will see. We will see. Hopefully they keep up the streak. Hopefully Alabama softball can keep run ruling people. Maybe Bama keeps up the undefeated streak. That's all we got for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. Remind you all to follow me and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_ and at JoeGaither6. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts from. Leave us a 5-star rating. We will be back next week to talk more Crimson Tide news on the All Things Bama Podcast. Thanks for listening.